One of the things that sort of fascinated me from the very beginning of the of what you write here, Gary, is that his mother was prone to somewhat hysterical experiences from time to time, things that she was claiming were happening to her, but he was seeing her, he was seeing things happening, but paranormal-like things happening around his mother, and he... I mean, he was kind of—he got wigged by it, but I mean, it wasn't just once.
Right? Oh yeah.
Floating
well,
head and
is,
everything.
I mean, it's on his mother's side. You could say that the paranormal was in Jung's DNA because her father, Jung's maternal grandfather, he used to keep a free chair at the dinner table for his deceased first wife. She would sit there, and then he would have conversations with her, much to the consternation of his living second wife.
Yeah.
Jung's mother was also, she had to sort of shoo the ghosts away from Samuel, her father, who was a preacher, and he was writing his sermons, and the ghosts of the dead would be bothering him while he was trying to write his sermons. So her job was to sort of stand around him and sort of wave her hand to keep the ghosts away. And then she herself used to fall into these sort of trance states when she was a teenager. There was one point where she fell into a coma for about, I don't know, 48 or 72 hours or something like that. And when she came out, she was speaking in tongues and a variety of other things. But the thing that Jung used to notice about his mother was that she seemed to slip into this other personality. Most of the time, she was a pretty average Swiss housewife, didn't have anything particularly profound to say and so on. But every so often she would slip into this other sort of personality, speak in a different kind of voice. And she would say these rather deep, profound, sometimes prophetic sorts of statements. And this affected him a great deal. And he himself, when he hit his adolescence, something very similar to that happened. He discovered that he seemed to be two different people.
What about the floating head, Gary?
Well, he used to have all these different weird kind of dreams, and there was
dreams?
A lot of tension between. I'm sorry.
Dreams? Do we want to call them dreams? He wasn't sleeping.
Dreams, trances, waking states, sort of waking dreams. I think they're all sort of part of a gradient. You know, you can sort of chart these things along a kind of gradually shifting sort of gradient where they're like dreams until sort of dreams start to invade your waking state, and then they consciously you're inducing visions and so on. And Jung was familiar with all of this stuff. But when he was a young boy, there was a lot of tension between his parents. Sort of any kind of love life, I think, had long since dissipated between the two of them. And Jung's father, he thought of his father as kind of a failure. Jung's father, again, was a preacher. Jung was surrounded by men of the cloth. I mean, it's a miracle in many ways that he didn't turn out to be a preacher himself. A pastor, because his father was, and on his mother's side, I think five uncles were as well. But his father had lost his faith, but he didn't know what else to do, and he just basically hung on to dear life for the rest of his life, just going through the motions of being a pastor. And there's a lot of tension, and Jung would have these rather strange dreams. There's this one very early one that he talks about was sort of coming into this kind of cave or this sort of hole where he discovered this huge, it looked like a tree trunk to him without any branches, a kind of smooth tree trunk, and on the top of which was a single kind of eye. Now, he later realized this was like a phallic symbol. And then he had visions of this sort of floating head coming out of his parents' bedroom. So a variety of different things. He had these sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, sort of an anxiety response, to the tensions that were going on. And
he didn't think of them necessarily as an anxiety response. I mean, his mother was having these two personalities, and at night she could be very different. And he knew this. And yet I guess I'm reluctant to quite dismiss them as dreams. I think visions is a different word with a different meaning, but I think he thought, Carl Jung, it seemed like he thought he was seeing these things and they were real, that the paranormal experiences that he had were real. No?
Oh, yeah. I mean, by saying dreams, I'm not dismissing them. And okay. Certainly Jung would in no way consider a dream to be any kind of negative, you know, thing. He may, in many ways, he would say, you know, dreams have a greater validity and greater life than our waking state. So I'm just using it as a handy kind of reference, you know. But you have to remember, this is a boy. This is a 9, 10, you know, even younger than that, year-old boy. So he didn't quite have the vocabulary to understand these experiences. And I was going to say, this is getting back to talking about symbols earlier, you know, even though he couldn't rationally understand sort of what was going on, his, if you want to call it his unconscious, his psyche, was producing these symbols that were apt. They were very accurate response to what was going on in him. And he even talks about having this one vision of this kind of blue, kind of floating blue sort of circle made up of angels, these small angels. You know? And this is like an early image of what he would later call the mandala, which is this kind of projection that the psyche produces, sort of indicating your psychic state at the time.